Do you feel isolated? I know that over the last year, I certainly have. Hello, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and this is Grace in Focus. And today, we're going to talk about isolation. Specifically, is it possible to be a disciple of Christ, a true, growing, maturing disciple, and be in isolation? You know, if you've got questions that you want answered, you can send them to us by zapping us an email at radio@faithalone.org. Okay, let's jump right to today's discussion because I'm really interested to see what Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar have to say on this subject. Here's Grace in Focus.
Thanks for listening to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob. And why are you smiling so much?
Well, I got a question with Zane, my son Zane.
Yeah?
He said, can you ask Mr. Bob this question?
Well, how old is Zane?
Zane's six.
Zane's six.
And so he has a Bible question for you. His question is, why does Joshua judge Ruth? Do you get it?
I think the three books in a row are Joshua judges Ruth.
Yes.
Why does Joshua judge Ruth? We've just taught the listeners how to memorize books of the Bible.
There you go. The sequences. Okay.
How about General Electric Phone Company?
What does that
mean? Gentiles eat pork chops. That's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians.
Galatians.
Ephesians,
Philippians, Colossians. I like
Gentiles
that.
Gentiles eat pork chops. Here's another one. All of the T's in the Bible start in the New Testament.
Okay.
And the letters of Paul first have all the churches and then all the individuals. So if you want to know all the books that start with T, it's 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, which ends the letters to the churches.
Okay.
And then 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus.
Ah, T.
Because those are all to individuals.
Ah, very good. Very good. But do you want a real question?
Give me a real one.
All right, here's a real question. This is from Shane. And Shane asks very simply, is it possible to be a true disciple but to do that all by yourself?
Okay, that's a good question. I assume what the question means is, can you be a follower of Jesus Christ without being a part of a local church at all?
That is the situation that he kind of finds himself in. It worries him, and he wants to know, you know, can he be a true disciple and do it all by himself? My initial statement was, in extreme circumstances, let's say you come to faith in solitary confinement in prison.
Right. I would agree with your statement about extreme circumstances.
You come to faith in a Muslim country and there's not another Christian for, 1,000 miles all around you. Or
you come to faith and they imprison you for your faith.
Or you're bedbound in a hospital or something.
Right.
And you just can't go. In extreme circumstances, I think God is going to use his word and use the Holy Spirit to minister to you in some ways. But let's talk about normal circumstances.
Okay, under normal circumstances, the New Testament does not envision someone who is a disciple of Christ, is following Christ, is serving him, who is not part of a local church where they are receiving Christian instruction. The word disciple means a learner. So a disciple of Jesus Christ is one who is learning more about Christ. Now, what's interesting is this idea of discipleship is not found in the epistles.
I think you have a blog about this.
We've talked about this a little bit.
So a disciple is literally someone who followed an itinerant teacher around.
Right. And so maybe that's why it doesn't appear in the epistles. But what you do find in the epistles is statements like, follow me as I follow Christ. 1 Corinthians 11:1. And there are multiple references to following Christ or to following others. Hebrews 13:17. We're remembering the examples of the Christian leaders who've gone on to be with the Lord, who we knew in the past. But in answer to his question, I would say, yes, hypothetically, a person could, especially if they're in a situation where they're extremely remote area and there are no grace churches within hours of them, and they're not really able to move, where such a person could be a disciple of Christ and pleasing him. But that's not an ideal situation. Much better would be, why not move? Most of us could move. Some can't.
Well, because of all the other things that you're supposed to get out of assembling together, here's some things that I was thinking of. One, we're commanded to assemble together.
Right.
So
Hebrews,
if you're a follower.
10:23-25, good example.
So if you're a follower of Jesus, you got to follow his instruction to gather together. So if you're not gathering together, then you're not following Jesus, then you're not really being a disciple in that sense, right?
Right.
And here's another reason. Paul says every believer has a gift, and you're supposed to exercise that gift in the context of the assembly so we can all edify each other. So they need your gifts, and you need everyone else's
gifts. So you can't do that if you're on your own.
Yeah, you can't exercise your gift as a disciple on your own. A third thing is, what is the biggest commandment that we have from Jesus? The greatest commandment.
Love one another.
How can you love one another all by yourself?
Yeah,
you
that's
can't,
a good point.
You can't do that. You need other people in order to exercise, practice that commandment. And the last thing is, I'm thinking about baptism and the Lord's Supper. A lot of people think water baptism is kind of like the first step in discipleship, and meeting to celebrate the Lord's Supper is like your continuing act of following Christ and openly confessing Him. And you can't do either of those things by yourself.
Okay, that's a good point. Now, a couple of options. First of all, in this COVID-19 environment, our church actually has the Lord's Supper via Zoom. We each get our own meal. We each have the bread and the cup, and we start with the bread, and then we have the meal, and we have a message, and then we have the cup.
Right.
And remembering the body and blood of Christ, we do this remotely, where each person is on their own to bring the elements and to have their meal.
Right.
We also have a sermon via Zoom, and there are other churches that have done this. So one possibility would be participating via Zoom. Another thing is, couldn't he start a home church?
Maybe. Host people there.
Even if it's just his own family, he and his wife and kids, or if he's a single man, maybe just a couple of people in his city that are born-again people who are clear on the grace of God, and just the three or four of them meet together. But another possibility would be moving. And the final possibility, which I guess you're suggesting, is find the best one that's close to your house. If it's not crystal clear, find something that's reasonably clear.
Find the best that you can.
One thing I would suggest, there is something called the Plymouth Brethren Handbook, and there are Plymouth Brethren churches all over the U.S. and Canada.
Yeah.
You can look in that handbook and find out where a Plymouth Brethren church is near you, and this will be one that they have the Lord's Supper every week. It will be one in which you can remember the Lord in the Lord's Supper, and not all of them, of course, are going to be clear on the grace of God. Many will, many won't, but you could probably find one that's clear. If you can't, you can at least find one where you can celebrate the Lord's Supper and hear some solid teaching on maybe issues other than the evangelistic message if they're not clear on the free gift of eternal life.
Right.
But I've not found too many Plymouth Brethren churches that are going to be either extreme Calvinist or Arminian.
Right.
Most of them are going to be mildly Calvinistic, and that may mean they're free grace. So that's a possibility. But there's also lots of Southern Baptist churches, which may be clear or at least reasonably clear. There's E-Free churches, which many of them either are clear or may be close to clear. So I guess that's another option. Is that the other thing you were thinking of, Sean?
It hurts to be alone. You know, it hurts to be lonely. And it's lonely to be lonely. And sometimes I want to be alone. Sometimes I can't wait to be alone. Sometimes I just go, I have to leave the house, and I just have to leave everyone behind. Sometimes you just need to go for a walk. But to be alone all the time is not good.
No.
I mean, God says that in Genesis chapter 3.
And the funny thing is, wasn't that the monastic idea? Some people thought this was a way to promote spirituality.
Yeah, this is how I can be a disciple, shut myself off in a cave, which many of them did. It's the exact opposite of what God
wants.
Or
on a pole.
They look at John the Baptist or someone, you know, and they say, see, he did that. Well, he did it at that time, but who knows how long he was there for, and it wasn't his whole life. He came and started ministering to people.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm with you, Shane, but one thing that I'm realizing, Bob, and maybe people need to realize more, is how important the assembly is, how important the church is to just everything. You know, it's the key to Christian living. It's not an option. It's not just something that happens on Sunday morning. It's really the key to all kinds of different things.
Okay, so here's a question. Say you have a believer who, for whatever reason, they don't take any of our advice, and they're out there, and they don't go to any church, and they don't even Zoom on church.
Yeah.
They don't do online church.
Yeah.
They don't do church.
They make no effort.
At all.
Yeah.
But they appear at the judgment seat of Christ, and they have been evangelistic. They have shared their faith. They have read the Word. They've prayed.
Yeah.
They've been someone who's been following Christ to the best of their ability. You think there'll be any rewards for them, or you think there's just shame and rebuke for them.
Well, I mean, I have to imagine they'd get some rewards, right, if they're evangelizing people and openly confessing Jesus to people and
right.
that kind of thing, you know. But there's all these other areas of disobedience, too, so you're not going to get rewarded for that. You know, you're going to miss out on all the rewards you could have had by ministering in your assembly and growing in that way.
That's a good point. So theoretically, they might even rule with Christ, although maybe they're not going to rule over 10 cities like the faithful guy in the parable of the minas, yeah. but they might rule over 2 cities or 1 city
you
or
get,
something.
You get the little garden shed in the back of these guys. In the garden mansion. Shed. Now you rule over that.
Sean didn't mean that. Take that back. Shane, he didn't mean that.
Oh, I'm not talking about Shane. I'm just talking about whoever. Maybe it'll be me. I don't know. I'm not sure.
But the point is, 1 John 2:28, my little children, abide in him so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink back in shame at his coming.
Yeah.
Hypothetically, someone who is not a part of a regular assembly might have confidence at the coming of Christ, even though there's going to be some, you know, areas that he's not, I mean, the Lord won't be pleased that this person didn't find some local assembly to be a part of. Mm. But I don't think the Lord's, on the other hand, going to ignore all the good works they did for him.
Right, right. I mean, God takes everything into consideration.
Right.
He knows everything, he sees everything, and he can extrapolate from what was to what could have been and all that kind of stuff.
But we shouldn't shoot for some sort of minimally acceptable performance.
No.
We ought to maximize our lives for Christ.
Well, yeah.
And in order to do that, you're saying, and I agree with you, we need to plug into a local assembly.
Absolutely.
Unless we're in those extreme circumstances
yeah.
you talked about at the start.
Well, Shane, I hope that answers your question. I hope it encourages you to go find Christian fellowship so you can really grow as God intended you to grow as a Christian, as part of the body of Christ, and not as a lone ranger. If you have any questions about what we said, go to our website, faithalone.org. We have plenty of articles on the importance of assembly life to Christian spirituality. And keep on listening. We'll see you next time.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, we've made it to another Friday. On Monday's episode, we're going to discuss 1 John, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.